I wonder how many of you have seen, there's an advert on the television at the moment. It's for a particular phone. I'm not sure which make it is, but it shows a couple of white-coated scientists in some sort of test laboratory, and they're doing all sorts of things. You know, they're bringing weight to bear, they drop, I'm not quite sure where they drop it in the washing up bowl, that does prove quite a lot. But they say if you buy our phone, then it is stress free. But I don't know whether that sort of thing works like that, does it? Because we will all find ourselves in a situation with our mobile phone that isn't accounted for in that advert. For instance, why can I never find mine? Why is it that I forget to charge it? Why is it we do all sorts of things? And stresses with mobile phones are just too numerous to mention. I wonder what your biggest problem is. What's your biggest problem? If somebody were to ask you that question, maybe you'd sigh and say something like, how much time have you got? Where do I start? And we live in a society today where we've got lots of new phrases, things like time management, work-life balance, establishing our priorities. These are all things that come to us and we think they are great ideas, but how do we, if you like, put them into practice? In this morning's Bible reading, Jesus gives, if you like, a measuring rod for establishing our priorities, our work-life balance. And the one verse that I want us to focus on this morning, you've got it in your notice sheet, haven't you? It's verse 33, and Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will fit into place. That is great. Job done. Go away. Put it into practice. Doesn't work like that, does it? It's one thing to hear what Jesus is saying. It's quite another thing for us to put it into practice, to work it out in our lives. We need to think about that verse. It stands to reason then, if it talks about a kingdom, then there must be a king, and the realm in which a king operates, and the people over whom he rules, constitute a kingdom. And so, if we are to seek God's kingdom, we begin to think, well, if he's king of the kingdom, then it's God that we need to look to. If we belong to God, if we're a Christian, we are part of that kingdom. And somewhere or other, we have to express that kingdom in our everyday lives. Archbishop Justin Welby has recently written a book, and he's talking about what it means to live as a Christian in the world today. And one of the verses that he takes, it's there if you've got your notice sheet handy, is verse 24, because his book is entitled Dethroning Mammon. Now, who is Mammon? In other words, it's money. Mammon is a word that was used in the older version of the Bible. Dethroning money. And he takes this verse that says, no one can serve two masters, or no one can serve two kings, if you like. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And if we see God's kingdom, money, if you like, is another kingdom that we are readily serving. He writes about the way that which people value money. And he writes about the way that, because we are people that value money, we see everything in monetary terms. I was quite struck by the fact that one of the things he mentions is when people volunteer to do a job, volunteer to do 10-10, I'm just reminding you of Andy's notice there, whatever we volunteer to do, somehow the world devalues one because it's not paid. I recommend the book, it's a very good book. And I think as we think about our priorities in life, very often our money, our worries, can be linked with money in one way or another. We've all got a different set of priorities we set ourselves. Sometimes they are dictated to us by other people, by circumstances. You know what it's like. You're just going along quite nicely when something comes into your life. I think it was John Lennon that said, life is what happens when we're making plans. In these verses, Jesus points out that people already have their priorities set. He talks about all the things they're worrying about. They're worrying about what they're going to do with their money, finance, what they're going to eat, food, what are they going to wear, fashion. Can they in some way add one more hour to their life, fitness? It's a bit like some years ago, there came out a diet book, didn't it? It was called the F Plan. Here we are. We've got the F Plan of worries, if you like. Finance, food, fashion and fitness. And I don't think things have changed very much. I think our priorities today involve finance and food and fashion and fitness and, of course, family. And just as these things were gripping their minds, they grip ours too. And it's not difficult to work out that if we have an anxiety, then it becomes a priority. If there's something we're worrying about, it's because it's important. And if it's so worrisome to us, we are continually anxious about it, then we found a priority. If you're not sure what your priorities are, identify the things that you worry about at the moment. I discovered this week when I was thinking around this passage that the Greek word, which would be the word that would be in the Bible as translated, Jesus saying, the Greek word for worry comes with a meaning to divide into parts or pieces, to draw in the opposite direction. In fact, we might say today, somebody who's really worried about something can be referred to as going to pieces over it. And I think that's what Jesus is getting at. When we think about that word, drawing away, dividing into pieces, he's not telling us not to worry, not to be concerned about things. What he's saying to us is, beware that all of the things that we are concerned about, finance, food, fashion, fitness, family, beware that they don't separate us from God and his kingdom. This phrase, work-life balance, is often used to encourage people to give equal attention to all of the things in their life. And perhaps as Christians, we need to consider that we need a faith-life balance. And Jesus says the way to do it is to seek first the kingdom of God. He isn't saying all the other things are important. He's saying find out what God's will is in the situation we might be facing. Jesus often spoke about the kingdom of heaven in the form of parables, and there's lots of them. I wonder if you can recall hearing about the woman who's lighting a lamp and she's searching round her home because she's lost a coin, it tells us in the Bible. What she's lost, we're given to believe, is part of the wedding dowry that was given when she came to be married. Sometimes we see pictures where women in Jesus' time wore something around the head or the neck. It was important to her. It wasn't just any old coin. There's another parable that Jesus tells about a man who finds treasure in the field. I'm sure he hadn't got a metal detector or anything like that. But what he does find is some sort of treasure, So what does he do? He quickly buries it, then he sells all he has and he goes to buy the field so that he owns the treasure. It's easy to think when we're listening to these parables of Jesus that Jesus is saying we need to search for God. And we do need to do that. But we can also view these parables as a picture of God searching for us. Remember the parable of the prodigal son, where the father represents God looking out for us to come to him. God searching for us. God loves us and he longs for us to love him in return. And later, when we share in bread and wine, that's a reminder, if you like, of the treasure of God's love as it's found through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, his son. Jesus wants us to apply a kingdom perspective to all our priorities. The Bible has got much to say about fairness and justice in our dealings with other people. Do we ever find ourselves in a situation where to express the kingdom of God in our dealings, perhaps in business, in our work life, is costly? Where we are sometimes having to consider, do I go with the flow of my company, whose dealings are not exactly ethical? How do we get to that point when people expect us to do something and we stand there and we say, well, actually, no, I have to express the values of the kingdom of God and I can't go along with you. That is a costly thing, however we are called to express the kingdom of God. So many things the Bible tells us about applying kingdom principles. The Bible's got lots to say about personal relationships between partners, between parents and children. When we think about our family life, sometimes what the Bible says can go out of the window in a moment of anger and stress. Someone once wrote, the presence of God will not always fix our problems in the way we would like him to, but it will clarify our perspective of his loving care for us. But he promises to be with us in any and every situation we find ourselves. So Jesus isn't saying that finance, food, fashion, fitness, family are unimportant. They are. He's saying we need to find out how to express God's kingdom in all of these areas of our lives. And the challenge for us is, how serious are we about expressing the kingdom of God in an everyday, weak situation, not just on Sundays? I heard of a lovely story many years ago about a man who was in the church choir. And he used to sing his heart out every Sunday morning and evening. But the previous day, he'd been to his local football club. And he'd shouted and cheered them on. And by the time he got to Monday, he hadn't got any voice. He thought to himself, I've got to do something about this. I'm going to have to give up the church choir. We can always find time to do the things that we really want to do. And sometimes we find it easier not to express the things of the kingdom of God when we're in stressful situations. Most of our stress comes from the way we respond, not the way life is. Someone said we need to adjust our attitude so that we might experience less stress. I don't know about you, but I found it very moving in the last few months of the various testimonies that we've heard about the stresses that people in our church family have faced. Some have had stresses to do with finance. Many have had stress of fitness or the lack of it. We know that many are facing the stress of losing a parent, of losing someone we've loved and cared about. And I've noticed, as we've listened to these people, I know there was a message going round from Yvonne Poynton over the last day or so. In each one of these situations, people have experienced great stress, but they've also experienced the presence of God, the presence of the kingdom of God. Very often when we experience God's presence with us, it's been in the stressful times we face. How do we face up to the problems and stresses we're facing right now? I don't know. I guess if we were to stop the service right here and say, we'll bring in people who will sit with you and listen to your problems, we could fill the rest of the day. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. There are times when perhaps we need to come and be honest before God, to tell him how we feel, to realise that some things are more important to us in life than expressing the kingdom of God in our everyday life. The Message, which is a translation of the Bible, says this, because I'm sure some of you are thinking, okay, and I know sometimes preachers say, leave your worries at the door when you come into church, and someone's thinking, yes, and pick them up again when you go out. We can't just abandon them, can we? But we can know that God is with us in those situations. And the Message says this, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the times come. I want us to spend a moment, if it helps, close your eyes. Just remember that Jesus is saying the yardstick by which we measure all of the things that we are concerned about, all the things that we are involved out in, we should measure them, use the yardstick of the things of the kingdom of heaven. It used to be a bracelet that's handed out every so often, and it says, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus have us do in this situation? He's struggling with money. Maybe he's calling us to trust him, even when we've no idea how the worry and the pressure is going to be resolved. Even when we're facing a lack of fitness or health problems, perhaps now is the time to say, God, I don't know how this is going to pan out, but will you help me to express the kingdom of God through everything that's happening at the moment? Perhaps it's a member of your family or a friend. Lord, I'm really worried about someone. Would you help me to express the kingdom of God to them in their anxiety? And help me to trust you, Lord, that you will care for them. Because we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.